So let's turn to the Word of God together, to the book of Colossians. Turning to Colossians 3 again, to these closing verses. And we trust that God will bless this public reading of His Word. If you don't have a Bible with you, perhaps you want to share with somebody else. It's always important that we read God's Word together and then think about it carefully. So Colossians 3, breaking into the reading at verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers or parents, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. Amen. So reads God's precious word. Last Sunday morning in Colossians 3, we were focusing on the family. Sometimes I get many comments after a Sunday morning or night. Some are positive, some negative, some constructive. I take them all as they come. But you know, last week so many people said to me how much that they were helped and encouraged and challenged by focusing on the family. See, Paul had something to say to all of us and our different relationships within the home, because what we learn from God's Word is not just for a Sunday, it's for our everyday living, and that was something we were reminded of last week, the responsibility of the wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. The role of the wife under God is one of loving submission, because she respects and sees and accepts God's order in the marital relationship. And in this way, she shows the richness of her own spiritual life. She shows she not only loves her husband, but that she loves the Lord. She honors God's pattern and shows a great depth of spirituality. The responsibility of the husband. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. If the wife is to submit and give her husband his rightful place in God's order, the husband is to love his wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There should be and must not be any ill feeling between the husband and wife and that relationship. The responsibility of the children, Paul says, children, obey your parents in all things. This is well pleasing unto the Lord. Boys and girls today, young people, God wants you to respect your parents. He wants you to obey them, listen to their counsel. They're seeking to guide you in the right way. And they may not say it, but I'll say it for them. For some of them have made big mistakes, and they don't want you to make the same mistakes. The responsibility of the parents. Fathers or parents, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. What a responsibility on parents. We're to train our children and bring them up in the ways of the Lord. Give them a good start in life spiritually. We give them a good start in many other ways. Maybe you're a parent here this morning, you're not a Christian. Maybe you just come to church now and again. Bring your children with you. Don't bring them. It doesn't matter. It does matter a great deal. You should give them a good spiritual start in life and come to church and bring them with you and sit under the authority of God's Word. Be thoughtful in how we handle our children, listening to their problems, not discouraging them, but making them feel part of us, and of course being consistent in what we say and what we do, because our children expect consistency of life. Today we come to these verses I've read in Colossians 3, and I'm calling this our service and its rewards. Listen to what Paul says, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now Paul has been focusing on the verses we looked at last week on the family and the relationships that are involved in family life. Now in verse 22, he speaks about another kind of relationship, and it's a relationship between the slave and his master. And he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Must remember that when Paul writes this letter, slavery was already well established in his day. In fact, it's thought there are times in Rome alone that almost half of the entire population were slaves. They had been captured in war. They had been arrested for crimes. They hadn't paid their debts. But whatever the reason, they were slaves and often brought into the slave markets to be sold in order that they might become the possession of a new master. And as a result of that, many of these slaves were Christians, and Christians who were in positions of great trust and authority. Many of them were involved in everyday, prominent day-to-day activities. It was essential in all of those positions of trust and authority that they conducted themselves in a proper manner. Some of them were slaves to masters who were Christians. Some of them were slaves to masters who were very cruel and abusive. And Paul doesn't distinguish between either of those. He simply gives a full picture and he says, look, as servants, you have responsibility as Christians to those who are your masters. Now, Paul doesn't deal here with the subject of slavery, nor does he deal with the ethical issues that surrounded it. He's simply giving instructions to these Christian slaves how they should behave themselves in their everyday employment, whether their masters are Christian or not. If their masters are Christian, they're not to take advantage of him. They're to work their very best. Stay focused. Do everything to the best of their ability. At the end of the day, they're doing it as unto the Lord. It's interesting to see how Paul approaches all of this in Colossians 3. As far as the Christian is concerned, he's dealt with his personal life. Remember how he told us to get rid of all those things that hinder us and to replace them with those things that become conduct and character that God longs to see in the Christian life. He speaks about the family life being so important, and we've looked at those briefly and individually. His professional life is important because how he works under those who employ him is of great interest to God. And his social life is important. You see, every aspect of our lives today as Christians are important. What we learn as Christians from God's Word, either publicly or privately, we need to take it to heart. And we need to apply it to our everyday living, because knowing the doctrines of our faith and not showing them lived out in that same faith is a contradiction. Every area of our lives is affected by our walk with God. Even though we're not dealing today with the issue of slavery, these are principles I think should govern our daily living. Whether we're working for the Lord, which I am, or whether we're working for someone else, which possibly you are, or whether you have the joy of sitting with your feet up in the place of retirement, well, you can smile about this, but these are all principles that govern all our lives. What are they? I'm going to mention three. because it reminds us that not only is our work under scrutiny, but our walk with God is under scrutiny. Here's the first one, a principle that is to be respected. Verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Now, he's been dealing with relationships within the home, the servant in the place of employment. He widens the scope of his thought and he says that whatever we do, he says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Think of that word heartily for a moment. When Paul uses this word, he's seeking to give an emphasis to everything that he's saying. He's suggesting that whatever the Christian does, he must put his whole heart and soul into it. He's talking about the child of God giving wholehearted service to whatever the task is at hand. And he does it in such a way that it brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't do what he does simply because someone's watching his every move. He doesn't do it simply because he's accountable to an earthly master or to a foreman or to a manager. What he does with all his heart and soul because he's doing it for the Lord, and it's important that everything we do it to please him. Sometimes people say to me, "Pastor, what you did didn't please me." That's fine. The point of the matter is, does it please him? That's the thing about our Christian life. That's the thing about our Christian walk. That's the thing about our worship. That's the thing about everything we do in the Christian realm. Does it please him? And Paul says to these people, listen, you do it to please him. Put your whole heart and soul into this. This is a principle worth considering today. I used to work with a Christian man before I was ever saved. Foreman used to turn and walk away and say of him, he wouldn't work in a fit. He wouldn't work in a fit. But you know, for the Christian, whether we are engaged in the Lord's work, whether we're engaged in everyday employment, whether we're engaged with our children, whatever we're engaged in, Paul says, put your whole heart and soul into it. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for the Lord. We're doing it for the sake and glory of Christ. We're doing it because ultimately we are accountable to Him. We are doing it in such a way that we are promoting the honor and glory of Christ. If we do otherwise, we approach it in a lazy fashion and slothfully and don't approach our everyday work in the right spirit, it not only mars our testimony, it dishonors the very Lord whom we claim to love. You might say to me today, but Pastor, hold on a moment. I mean, it's only my work, it's my job. I don't treat it too seriously. What does it matter? I'll tell you, as a Christian, it matters a great deal. See, in the place of employment, the Christian should be honest and hardworking. The Christian should be sincere and dependable. The Christian should be a good timekeeper. The Christian should be known for his standards, not to be seen to be dishonest, not stealing the firm's time, not bluffing his way. Because to unsaved colleagues, his very testimony is under scrutiny. When I got saved and I was working in the factory, I feel embarrassed to tell you this, but here it is. I remember asking God to give me opportunity every day to tell somebody about Christ. And every day when I was going around the factory, whatever I was doing, everybody I saw, I cornered them and started to tell them about the Savior. Knew them all. They knew I'd just been converted. And I told them all, and sometimes I would have come running in with a cart that was needed 10 minutes ago, but I was justifying it because I was talking about the Savior. And furthermore, you see, it come about so good, I was telling so many people, I had to tell my pastor about it. And one day we were sitting together having a cup of coffee, and I said, you know what I've been doing? He said, tell me. And I told him the whole story. The people had been saying, where I'd been talking to them, what I'd been doing. He said to me, he said, tell me this, have you been neglecting your work? He said, you know, the people you're trying to reach, if they think you're running around bluffing and not at your work, you'd prefer that to keep them quiet. Then it struck me. I was laboring amongst the non-saved people. And I could have shouted to the cows come home about Christ. But if I was leaving them to do all the work in my absence, it was a poor testimony. See, beloved, when it comes to working, and those of us in the Lord's work today, you may not understand this, but some who are in it understand it greatly. When your time's your own, well, it's not your own, but you know what I mean by that. You're not clocking in the morning at 4:15 and clocking off at 4:15 or 5 like many people have to do. The time, in a sense, is your own. It's between you and the Lord. It's the easiest thing in the world to become slothful. It's the easiest thing in the world to take it easy and to stretch things out. God expects us, in whatever area of work we're in, to put our whole heart into it. You see the Lord's work? We're all in this together in the Lord's work. If we're repairing a building, we shouldn't be cutting corners. It's the Lord's house. We should do it for His glory because we do it for our own at home. If we're teaching children, we should give them our very best in our prayer and preparation for them. If you come out to Sunday school on a Sunday morning to teach children and you're not prepared and you haven't prayed for your children, maybe you're not in the right place. If you're not leading them by example, maybe you're not in the right place. If we're engaged with young people who are always looking on to us and wanting to learn from us and seeing our growth and grace, if they're not seeing it and they're not able to follow in our steps, there's something wrong. If we're in leadership of this church and we're not putting our whole hearts into it and we're not doing it for the Lord, we can't expect our people to be committed to the cause of Christ. You say, Pastor, you've been very strong this morning. No. I'm just being very honest to my own heart and life. Philip Doddridge says in a lovely hymn, "My gracious Lord, I own thy right. To every service I can pay and call it my supreme delight to hear thy dictates and obey." And obey. Principle that is to be respected. Here's the second thing. A preeminence that is to be recognized. Paul just doesn't underline this great principle for all our service. He brings a great crescendo to all that he's been saying in this passage, for he puts it like this. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Put your heart and soul into it as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I've prayed as I've thought about this and as I have prepared for this that the Lord will write that in my heart today that I'll never ever forget it. That I'll not become so cold and careless and get so far away from Him and lose my focus and just drift through life that I forget that I serve the Lord Christ. Some of you in this meeting don't understand that. You don't realize the importance of it because you don't know Christ as your Savior yet. If you take what the New Testament speaks about your condition without Christ, you're still a servant to sin. You're still a servant to Satan. you are not yet saved, and you're not only living under the authority of the wrong master, you're living under God's condemnation. That's why it's so important for you to come to Christ. That's why it's so important for you to deal with your sin and to respond to the claim of the gospel and to repent of that sin and come under the authority of one who loves you and wants the best for you, and that's Christ. For those of us who are saved today, Paul says you serve the Lord Christ. Christian friend, do you understand the honor and the privilege that it is to be in that place? No, it's not without difficulties. We all face them. It's not without discouragement. Even pastors feel like throwing in the towel from time to time. But it's the greatest thing in the world to be a servant of the Most High God. Do you see, whether that's in full-time ministry or whether it's a ministry to others in the life of a local church, still a privilege. Here's where it becomes interesting. Paul, in that lovely phrase, mentions two things. First, a service. You serve. He didn't turn around and say to these believers in Colossae, look, if you are involved in the work of God, then you must. He just assumed because they were Christians, bought with a price, because they belonged to Christ, he just assumed that all of them together were co-laborers with God. He takes it for a fact that these people are already engaged in service. You serve. Paul often referred to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to all the words concerning that, but he uses the word of himself as the word doulos, translated as the word slave. And then you remember that when Paul was converted, in Acts chapter 9, and you've read it often, on that Damascus road, the risen Christ speaks to him, Paul's confronted, he's converted, and it comes to this great question, Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do, Lord? And he recognized his humble position as a servant. He gladly submitted himself to his new master, and as far as he's concerned, there's no task too great, too small to do for him. Now, he may have been an apostle, and he was, for he speaks himself of how he was set apart by God for such a role. And he may have been a mighty preacher, and he may have been a pillar in the church, and he might have been one of the greatest masonries who ever lived, and he may have been a church planter, and all of those things rolled into one. But at the end of the day, he's still only an unprofitable servant. That's exactly what we are today. Nothing more, nothing less than unprofitable servants. I think sometimes in the work of God we see what goes on in the streets, and we see people held up and thousands flocking here and thousands flocking there, and those who are engaged in God's work today see themselves as great heroes. Well, whenever you lose a servant heart, get out of it. Because at the end of the day, you're nothing more or less. Pastor Taylor, if you're in the work 50 years and you're finished and it has flourished and you've been fruitful, you still remain an unprofitable servant. A doulos. Just a bond slave. See, some of us might have gifts that involve a ministry that's different from others. Some of us might even have an opinion about ourselves and the gifts we've had and how we've used them. But the important thing is the word gifts. They were given. The Lord could just withdraw them or stop you using them as soon as he wants. To be a ask you a question this morning as a Christian. Have you ever in all your lifetime, in all your lifetime of walking with Jesus Christ and claiming to belong to Him, in all your lifetime, over all those years, have you ever once asked the Lord, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" I would say honestly, some of us never have. And one of the reasons for that is that we're quite comfortable. That's why many of us don't like change, because it shakes us out of our comfort seat. That's why some of us don't like to be stretched, because it demands far more from us. But we need to get to the place where we understand this. We are saved to serve. There are many Christians today who are not serving. They make no contribution. We've had just about as much, I'm sure, of a general election as we could have for the present time. Between posters and people and interviews and all the things that have been going on, and then Mr. Brown, whatever you think of him, you've got to feel a bit of sympathy. But I listened to him being interviewed one night, just for a few moments, and he said this. He said, "You know, I think it's just time for me now to go into the back benches." You see, in church life today, the back benches are full. They're full. You see, trying to put together a constructive, forward-thinking group of people to go forward, hard to find. Because it takes commitment. It takes dedication. It takes you putting your whole heart into this walk. Yet Paul says, "You serve. You serve." During World War II, England desperately needed to increase its production of coal. Winston Churchill called together the miners to enlist their support, and he said to them, "Gentlemen, what you're being asked today doesn't seem important. But," he said, "I want you to picture in your minds for a moment when the war's over and when they're parading down Piccadilly Circus and throngs of people are standing around and they're involved with you in the victory that has been won." And he said, "Firstly will come the sailors, who fought hard and kept the sea lanes open. And then next will come those soldiers on their way home from Dunkirk. And then will come the pilots who have driven the enemies from the skies. And then last of all, will come a long line of sweat-stained, suit-drenched men in their miners' caps." And someone will shout out from the crowd, "Where were you, men, in the midst of the struggle when you were needed?" And he said, 10,000 men will reply, "We were deep in the earth with our faces to the core." You see, not all tasks today in church life have to be prominent. Unless I'm up here doing this, I'm up there. You'd be better at nothing. You're better at nothing. You're going to pick and choose and tell God what you're going to do and when you're going to do it and how you want it done. You'll be better at nothing. But if you're willing today to be at the coalface and to do any task you can and every task that God demands of you, that's the kind of man or woman that God's looking for. And then God will lead you on and lead you on and lead you on again. There's service. You serve. There's sovereignty. You serve the Lord Christ. This is a title of authority. This speaks of one who has power and dominion over everything. This is a picture of a master who has the right to rule over our lives. Now, there's responsibility within the home and employment. One way or another, we all live under authority. But there's a supreme authority today that I live under. That's Christ. That's Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. That's why your service today is important. I'm not going to do it because of the pastor. Don't worry about the pastor. He'll come and he'll go in the Lord's time, the way all the other pastors have come and gone in all our churches all over all the years. This is not his work. Get that into your head today. This is not his work. This is the Lord's work. Do it for him. You serve the Lord Christ. That's why your service is important. That's why your effort is important. That's why your commitment is important. I say this to you lovingly. If you've never been engaged and never done anything, and you've retired to the backbenches from the moment that you were saved, go home today and ask him, Lord, what will you have me to do? Here's the third thing, I'll quit very quickly. A principle to be respected, a preeminence is recognized, a promise that's realized. Whatsoever you do, do it with all your heart and soul. Ask to the Lord, not unto men. Now listen to this. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And this is where this picture that Paul paints becomes complete. You and I could give our hearts and lives to an earthly employer. There are people who genuinely have worked for a firm for perhaps 50 years. I heard a man in England who's still working and he's 90-something and he's been with the same firm for 74 years. And then he'll die. Someone will come and take his place. The business could be sold and not one would ever know his name. Never remember. It will never be like that in the service of God. For he takes everything into account. And thank God he's the one that keeps the accounts. He sees everything we do in his name. He knows the motive for every act of service. He sees those things we do quietly that nobody else should know about. He is aware of every aspect of our work. And when he calls us to accountability, we shall be rewarded accordingly. This promise yet to be realized, beloved. Gospel teaches us, as R.L. Dabney says, that believers are not rewarded on account of their works, but they are rewarded according to their work. That's why Paul says to the believers in Corinth, after that great doctrine and the resurrection doctrine, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, always immovable, always abounding in the work, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord. I ask you this morning, for those of you who have had your faces at the coals for years, and you've strained every muscle, and you've worked yourself to the limit, and there have been times you've sat down, you've just sat in the chair and said, I can't give any more, I'm not sure it's even worth trying. If you're there this morning and you feel like quitting, don't. Don't. If you feel you've labored faithfully, that the fruit is slow in coming and you're discouraged, you're ready to throw in the towel, don't. If you feel your service is not worthwhile, it's time to consider something else, don't. Because it's always too soon to quit. Oh yes, the work can be hard. The workers get discouraged. But you serve the Lord Christ. You've served him for umpteen years. And there's not one day or hour or minute of all of those years that have gone unnoticed. Not one. Anything you have done for him is worthwhile. And everything you've given to him really matters. And one day, in the day of accountability, you'll hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." "Ah, but Lord, I served in that church for 50 years. I taught children all my life. I can't honestly say I saw one of them saved." The Lord just might say to you, "My brother or sister in Christ, come with me." They take you across, and there they'll be in heaven. Didn't get saved when you taught them, but when they grew up and remembered where they'd been in the influence of your life, they're in heaven nevertheless. God doesn't always call his accounts day. Remember that. Some of you young people with this, I'll finish. This is such a text, I could go on for another week. But I'm going to finish with this. Some of you young people, and I'm looking you in the face just now, respecting you for where you are and who you are, and I'm saying to you today, don't sit and waste your lives in things that don't matter. You have a whole life to live if God spares you, and a whole lifetime to serve him. I hope today you'll go home. You'll turn around and say to him, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Ah, yes, you could sit and warm a seat till you're 70, and thank God for those who do, because if pastors hadn't people to preach to, there's no point in coming out. But some people are at the end of the journey, having given a lifetime of service. You're now standing with a lifetime to give in service. Don't waste it. "Lord, what will you have me to do?" When he tells you, when he shows you, do it. And if it's in this church, you come to the elders and you tell them how God has been leading you. They'll encourage you. And if the church is worth its salt, they'll channel you and they'll support you. You too, sir. Beloved, all of us today, tremendous challenge from God's word. I accept that. I wish Steve Brady had been here this morning, but I'd still have to do this next week. But the point is, every area of our lives, our walk and our work, are important to God. It doesn't go unnoticed by him. We all serve the Lord Christ. Let's pray. Father, reluctantly again, we bow in your presence, for we have been searched often in our preparation, and yet again in proclamation, and we humbly and willingly bow our knees before you. And we say afresh, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And whatever it is we are doing, would you help us to do it honestly, faithfully, lovingly, putting our heart and soul into it, because we're doing it for the glory of Christ himself. Oh God, our Father, speak, we pray, to us today, and change us as a result of this. We pray in Jesus' name.